Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the It Just Works podcast. And I'm your host, Ryan. And today is a very special day as we record our annually Music of the Year podcast. But joining us this year, because I don't think you made it last year, is Brian. Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, just ready for the holidays, ready to talk about music and talk about what we love this year and what we're excited for. So thanks for having me.
I do have a curveball question for both of you. But yeah, let's introduce our other fuck face. We have Eric, who's making literal fuck faces. How you doing,
Hello, man? What's up, you bunch of morose motherfuckers? Hello, it's me
again.
I'm so
glad that you guys can both make this. It's been a while since Brian's been on, and it's been a while since Eric's been on, so it's pretty exciting.
I think it's been a while since you've done anything, so.
Thank you. It's been a while.
It's been a while since I fucked it up again. Okay.
It's only been a couple of weeks. You know, it's kind of
a while.
You know. It's all right. Next year, I plan on getting back to it because January might be nuts for video game news alone. So we'll see what happens there. I wanted to bring this up. So shout out to Savannah's dad, because me and him were talking about this. He loves music, like hardcore fan of music. And this is something I actually felt in high school, and I think it contributed to why I liked a lot of the music we listened to. But when you guys hear like mainstream music, or like maybe like hip hop and rap, or maybe electronic music, do you feel like it doesn't compare to the music you guys listen to because of the instruments that are actually being used instead of digital instruments?
I don't know. It's kind of tough. I mean, yes and no, because like there are songs that I genuinely like. Like I do like Dua Lipa, for example. I think she's got some good songs, and that's just a singer with, you know, she's just singing with whatever's in the background. You know, I'm sure live there's a couple instruments. I think the reason that I continue to go to concerts and continue to listen to what we listen to is the pure raw aggression. The instruments being played, and that could be acoustically too, because I still love CD and color, which is just mostly solely acoustic music. So I think that it is, I guess it is a lot of instruments as to why I continue to listen to this. And then just like hip hop and country, I guess for hip hop and country, for me anyway, I don't really care for the lyrical content. You know, hip hop is, it depends on the hip hop, I guess. If you're listening to the right rapper, he could definitely be talking about life experiences and stuff like that. But you've got the opposite where they're just talking about booty shaking and money and cars and whatever, right? Country,
right?
I just don't like country. I don't care how many instruments and how rock country it might seem, or hip hop country. I just don't like country. So to answer your question, I don't know if I did.
Well, it's kind of you did say something that kind of like is almost the answer I was curious about is like, so let's say you hate all the lyrical content, not hate, but you don't care for the lyrical content of the rapper, but then the background is the same exact beat that they're going to use for the next 3 minutes. And that also kind of sucks. Like, is that even music at that point, or is it just straight up noise to you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
because a lot of current rappers have their background noises just straight up on a loop, like the entire song.
Yeah, but I mean, if you break down music that we listen to, not all of it, but there are some basic stuff that is I mean, it's a, what, verse, hook, chorus, verse, two, hook, chorus, or breakdown. So a lot of what we listen to is technically the same as well, to a degree, I guess.
At least they're actually playing it though, rather than just like playing tracks, like
Yeah.
standing on a stage, just pressing a button, pressing play, and then, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that there, I mean, I think that for what we listen to is more tangible. You can pinpoint people. There's videos of like people like Buried Alive. I don't know if you've seen him, but he's been playing on TikTok. His videos are fucking amazing. And hit what he can do with a guitar is crazy. When you watch Veil of Maya, that guitarist, when he's playing a specific section of the verse or the pre-breakdown or pre-chorus or whatever, he's playing it. He's using his feet, utilizing his feet on a looper, so that main riff is then in the background on the next, on the like the chorus or the breakdown for whatever else he's doing. So there are a lot of different artists that we, drummers, guitarists, bassists, singers that we listen to that really can do a lot of different things. And I think that I gravitate way more to that than anything.
That answers the question. But Brian, how do you feel? I mean, is that pretty much the same boat, or anything else you want to add to that?
No, I'm in the same boat. It's a lot harder for me to appreciate like artists if they're not using like real instruments, or if it's just, like I said, a stage show where they just go up there and they're just playing a pre-recorded like music. Like, it's harder for me to take that seriously. It's not that I don't appreciate it, but I feel like real music will always be 100% better to play. But I don't know, when I hear it, like people say, oh, there's no good music nowadays, and all the good music's like in the past, like, no, there's good music out there, you just have to search for it. And I feel like even in the past, it's not like every song was golden. There's garbage that came out back then. It's all about finding it. It's just nowadays everybody has a platform, so anybody can release music, and it wasn't kind of like that back then. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot more to sift through, for
Yeah,
sure.
definitely.
That, and the only thing I would say that the only thing I would say looking back at it, because you're right, we didn't grow up in it, but also, today there is still great music. I would just say probably maybe back then the mainstream music was a hell of a lot better. Especially when you listen to like the late 60s and then 70s and 80s music, you're like, damn, they got some bangers like across the board. But they all didn't release at the same time. Those are throughout the decade. But I was just curious because that was like something me and him were talking about, and I thought it was kind of funny he said that, because that's how I always kind of felt about that music when I was in like high school and stuff. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation to have. But next up, I wanted to bring up to you guys, kind of, it's been a few weeks now since it's happened, and I think they're a band that kind of gets shit for no reason. But we had Knocked Loose on Jimmy Kimmel Live, easily the heaviest act on live television, at least in our country, ever. And I mean, what did you guys think of like the performance and all that? I know we sent around the video that showed all the songs they played. But how did it feel to you guys to like see a band that can make this kind of good music and heavy music and actually capitalize on it? Whereas some of the other bands that we've listened to, like Asking Alexandria and A Day to Remember, have also been on a Jimmy Kimmel, but they chose to do their poppy songs instead of maybe something that showcases their whole range of music.
Well, I think that showcases what those guys, I mean, I think right there, if you think about that, it really shows how they either don't give a fuck and they want to go as high as they can, but they want to keep it to what they've done. Knocked Loose hasn't really wavered in heaviness or content. And they go on national television and they don't, I mean, yeah, they brought Poppy out, but that song specifically is Grammy nominated. So they played that song and it's still heavy as shit. So, they haven't really wavered, even with the backlash of online bullshit and people that are like, oh, I don't really like Brian's voice or whatever. It is an acquired taste, I guess, but I think it's still pretty sick. I've seen them live. That was one of the concerts on my top lists for the year. Because I flew out to Dallas and then just happened to look, because I usually do when I travel, to see who's playing, and they were playing the night I landed. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. and amazing. I mean, crowd involvement was insane. There was a Pikachu, and so I think that was fucking awesome. I mean, it just shows, what we listen to, what they can do, where as far as they can go. And I mean, they lead. Jimmy Josta always says stupid shit, but he always said the high tide raises all ships. So, everybody behind, and there's other things that, like Brian had talked about, people saying like, oh, there's no good music or there's no headliners or whatever. Doing that kind of thing, bringing more notoriety to what we listen to, brings more headliners. Knock Loose will be a headliner soon, like a major headliner. Maybe not for like the major big fest. Well, probably. You never know, but I think the fact that they took that chance and then just ran with it was awesome in the way that they did it. So, and then their performance was great the whole way through.
Yeah, I mean the whole set list that they ended up playing was amazing. I pretty much agree with you, even though there is no signs of them changing, like you said, their sound. The reason why I bring it up a lot when I talk to anyone really is just I just remember being in high school, and you saw the advertisement for that A Day to Remember is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Granted, it was the new record coming out. I totally get it. But I just feel like it would have been cooler to see something like Second Sucks, which was also off of What Separates Me From You, instead of just All I Want. It just was like so generic. And then Asking Alexandria went on there after Danny, before, right before Danny got kicked out, and like their shit sucked. And I don't know, it was just really nice to see Knock Loose like commit. Like Suffocate's like such a fucking good song, and it was just really cool to see it happen. And then they sound like flawless pretty much, even over the damn TV. But Brian, how do you feel about all this? And does it mean anything to you, or is you just like cool, good for them, and that's it?
No, I thought it was fantastic. I'm kind of a casual fan with them, but I was really supportive of when I heard they were going to be on Jimmy Kimmel, and I watched it, and damn, they sounded really good. Like they were firing on like all cylinders. Like all of them sounded like on point. And I think it's just really good for like that scene of music, because we don't get hardcore bands like that often on television, especially like main television. So I don't know, it was really good for them, and it's good for the scene. And it makes me want to check out more of their music. I think I've only listened to the most recent album and maybe some other stuff, but I just need to dive in more, because I have seen them live and they were really good. They put on a good show. It took me a while to warm up to the singer's voice, but no, they're talented as fuck and they deserve everything they've gotten. And I'm excited to see them get bigger and bigger. And like Eric said, they can do headline festival eventually at the trajectory. I can't talk trajectory they're going currently. They're getting big. They're getting really big. So,
I like that they're willing to just do shit. They did Kimmy Jimmel Live.
yeah,
They
Kimmy
did
Jimmel. They were at Coachella last year.
Coachella. That's what I was
Oh, they did
going
Coachella. Nice.
for. Yeah. The other thing
Yeah, and right
I
before they did Coachella, they released a single Deep in the Willow.
I don't know if it's to the detriment of
Better.
themselves, but what I do like that they do is when they go on tour and they headline, they pick the bands that they want, and they'll pick
Yeah.
random fucking bands. Like when I saw them, it was Loathe, and I can't even think of the right before who was after Loathe, right before Knocked Loose, but they're fucking weird. Oh, and Speed was first. So Speed, Loathe, and then I can't think of the band, and then
Didn't they
Knocked
go on
Loose.
tour with Slipknot this year
Yeah, they
too?
did.
That's a pretty big deal, because
That's a big deal.
that's big show. So that's gonna keep them going up in this. Yeah, they're gonna keep getting bigger. So good for them. They fucking deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you guys feel like overall, just like a brief summary before we jump into some of our tops, how 2024 was versus last year for you? So Brian, when you think of like everything that came out this year, just stuff that you've listened to, like how do you think it matches up to what released last year? And at least just like a off the cuff, like how do you feel about it?
I was looking at my list of like albums that came out this year, and don't get me wrong, there's some good shit on there, but I don't think it was like my favorite year or anything, but then again, I can't really remember last year either. So there's some good albums that came out this year, but none that like blew. I mean, some of them blew me away, but it was a good year. It was good, but I won't say great.
To me personally.
Yeah. Eric.
I think there was a lot of good stuff last year, but I don't know. I think this year there was a lot of more eclectic stuff that I found that was different a little bit, and that was really good. Yeah, last year was good, but I think this year I liked better. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because when I'm like looking through, because I do my playlist, so I have like a best of 2023 that I'm looking through, and a lot of the best of stuff that I have on here are singles, you know. So they were all singles for albums that came out this year. So like Ghost Inside, Many Eyes, Make Them Suffer, what was the other one? Kubla Khan. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff from last year that all those albums actually came out this year, right? In like Moths to Flames, Eminence, you know. So there's a good amount of stuff. I think that this year was better, but it could be just because of what albums came out. So I think I would rather. I was pretty happy with this year. I mean, there was a ton of music this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Both years had a lot of really good music. I just went through like all my 2023 stuff, and goddamn, there's stuff all over the place from City in Color to Crosses. And there's a ton of shit.
I think this
Ebony
year I
Affliction
found
came back.
more. Yeah, for sure. That was a great album last year. But I think for this year, there was a lot. To me, looking at what I've got, there was a lot more new bands that I hadn't heard of that were really good. And we can go through those later, but I think that's where I lies. Now, on top of the full length albums that came out this year, that were fucking great, there was a lot more new bands that came out that were pretty really good. So yeah.
Yeah, I would say this year definitely had a lot of releases that showcase why I like metalcore a lot in the variety of it, 'cause I'm looking at it and I'm just like, damn.
You know, I'm comparing my
But
playlist from last year too, and I think this year's was definitely a lot better, so.
yeah, I just feel like there's slightly more variety this year for me in sounds and stuff. Yeah, so let's do probably, it sounds like going to be the most tough one for potentially Brian, but I think for me and Eric, this is like fucking cake, and it doesn't have to be in any order, but let's just kind of talk about your guys' top five singles.
Oh.
It doesn't have to be like, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I have like 10.
Well, I just did top fives because it's easier.
Yeah, I
You
got
listen to
10.
more singles and stuff because you like to find new bands, so I can understand why you would have a lot more. But go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, so I mean, I was just looking through everything and kind of what I playlists and stuff that I put together, but you know, one that I really like. It was Mike Shinoda's Already Over. I think that's a
Okay.
great song, and I think that could have been a really great Linkin Park song, you know, if that was done beforehand.
Yeah.
Another one that sticks out to me was really quick for me to throw on here was Baby Metal with Electric Callboy, Ratatata, or Ratata,
Okay.
whatever the hell it's called. I think that song's awesome. The music video alone was fucking great, but the song itself is just really good. Devil Wears Prada, Ritual, that one popped up. They had a couple new songs with like two or three songs this year. Another one was Bad Omens, Van. At first, I was really not, I didn't know how I felt about it, but I've seen it live a couple times, and every time it comes on, I really do enjoy that song. It just makes me think of Portal. The voice from Portal singing on that. I know it's poppy, but
Yeah.
And then Hollowfront, they put out a lot of new singles. I think my favorite is Hold Me Down. Dreamwake has a new album coming out this year, so I'm excited for that. They finally got onto a record label. They've been putting out stuff, I think, on their own. But their new song Heatwave, that came out maybe a month ago. Speed, The First Test, that song's great. Spirit Box dropped Soft Spine. That's a really good song off the new album coming out. And then there was a couple songs, the last three songs that I found on TikTok, which was pretty cool. Not Enough Space. The name I'm not too keen on of the band name is called Not Enough Space. It was the one that all the YouTubers were listening to, where she goes in the breakdown. But the song is really good, and I don't
Oh,
know if you've
okay.
heard of it called it's song. The song's called Primitive, but it's a really good song. I actually think they should cut off the word space and just put Not Enough as the band title, the band name maybe. But anyway, Via Nova was that funky kind of band that I sent maybe a week ago to you guys. The song is called Wheel of Fortune. Again, I found them on TikTok, just popped on my shit for TikTok, and I think they're actually really good. I'm excited to see what they continue to do. And then the last one, kind of goofy. Again, didn't when it, when I first heard it, I was like, it's cool, it sounds good, but it doesn't really hit. And then I keep playing it, and I'm like, man, this is kind of fucking sick. Is the Lost Souls Childhood Died song, the Star Wars song.
Nice.
They put out a couple
Yeah.
other songs that are good, but that one's really funny, and I think it's really done really well. So those are just like kind of some of the favorite songs, top singles for me.
Nice. Yeah, so I'm kind of gonna go backwards. It's what I have recently, although there's stuff I haven't added to the playlist because the year kind of ended because of the replay. But I had an Nerve from Thornhill. I'm just excited by pretty much anything these guys do. But even the video game song that Northlane did called Welcome to the Industry, I thought was fun. Cast Out from Hollowfront is probably tied with Hold Me Down for me. And then Burn from Haste the Day. It's just nice to see them back, and I'm really excited to see what they do. And then I know the next one is, I would have said Soft Spine too, but you already said it. I put Exhumed from August Burns Red. I'm just really excited to see what they do. I mean, Jake just sounds angry as fuck. Like he's just ready to destroy shit, which he always sounds great, but I really like Jake a lot, and I'm really excited to see what they do with their next record. And then I put "Die with a Smile" from Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. I
Oh
think that
yeah,
song's
that's a good
incredible.
song.
I think it's a very, very, very good song. And I think if mainstream music sounded like that, I think a lot of us would be happier to hear what people can bring to the table. But I even put it's an Indian rapper, the Big Dog song from Humankind and Kalmi. That's just a dope ass song, and like the music video is sick as fuck too.
Yeah.
I put in Entwined by World Divided because it's go he it seems like Daniel's kind of going for like the Deftone stuff, and then just a few more. Jail on Christmas from Evergreen Terrace. It was just such a badass, like just a nice surprise, and I think I'm just like really excited to hear what they do with that sound and on a whole record because the song gives you everything that Evergreen Terrace has always done right, and it's only like in a minute and 30 seconds, so it's pretty fucking sweet. And then easily my favorite singles though of the year are going to be Villain Arc by Barry Tomorrow because I think they finally found a nice sound. And then just ones that were pretty much on repeat like all year long, to be honest. They came out pretty damn early was Farewell from In Heart's Wake, Kyle's last song with the band, and it was pretty damn emotional, especially since I don't know about you, Brian, but at least I know me and Eric have literally listened to them since they pretty much became mainstream enough in this genre. And then just the last two, well, last three would be Obsession from Thornhill. Probably I would pick that over Nerve. But the last two are just phenomenal, and it sucks because their record was horrible. But To the Flowers from While She Sleeps is such an emotional and just badass song. The guitars just sound stunning. The music video is heartbreaking, and then Creature from Landmarks is easily my favorite single of the year. thanks to Eric, getting concert tickets and stuff. I never really listened to Landmarks, but I saw them last year for the first time. It was in person at the North Lane show, and I just thought they sounded flawless. And now I've been listening to their just, their past music, and it's or 2022 actually. But yeah, I think that's easily the best single of the year for me, with Ritual right there as well. But Eric, you already said that. Ritual is a fucking incredible song. But Brian, what are some of your favorite singles of the year?
Mine are probably just not going to be in any particular order. I'm just going to list singles that I liked. They're All Around Us by Poppy was really good. She's very hit or miss with me. Sometimes she puts out shit albums, but this year I really like the singles and the heaviness she brought back, so that was good. Damaged by Lights, which is a Canadian pop singer that I liked it.
She's
Not
awesome.
normally my type of music, but I liked
She's
it.
got good songs.
Yeah, that single was really good. And let's see what else we got. I like Lithonia from Childish Gambino's new album.
Oh,
That album
yeah.
kind of that
I
was a
love that
slow
song.
burn album, because at first I'm like, I don't know if I get this. And then I kept listening to it, and most of the tracks I actually like, but Lithonia was a great start to the album. It's nice hearing him with like a full band behind him, so that's pretty cool. Suffocate but with Poppy, we already talked about that. That was a standout track for sure. Single, so that was great. And then let's see. Oh, Speed Demon and Straight from the Heart from Dance Gavin Dance. They weren't perfect songs, but it got me excited for the future, and just hearing something without Tillian's fucking voice on it was pretty exciting. So, not perfect singles, but I will say they are some of my favorites from this year because it just excites me for the future. And then Melvin's Work in the Ditch. I know it's not your guys' kind of style, but that was a great song, or great single, great album, short album. There was only like five songs on it, I believe. But then Keep Your Cool Man by Riley, which is like a pop punk band, I guess you would say. I don't even know how I discovered them, but I listened to that album shit ton, and the single Keep Your Cool Man was really, really, really good. So then No Weapons Form Shall Prosper from Idola was a great start to the year, because I
Oh.
believe that came out in March or April. So that was a great
Yeah, that was a
single,
pretty early
great
song.
start to the year. That was really fantastic. I knew the second part of the album wasn't going to be as heavy, but as they're dropping these little tidbits, I'm like, oh, bummer. But, and then my last one would probably be Death of a Stuntman by Horrors, which was really good. Just a fast and sludgy song. So
Damn, dude, no Floods of the Triton?
I wasn't, I know. I, yeah, you would think it wasn't that good to me. It felt kind of forced, like they just made it in like an hour.
Yeah, probably was.
I'll listen to it and it's cool, but it's not like something I need a fuck throwing Floods of Triton, or it's not the same as like Blood and Thunder or something.
Right.
But
You had the shirt on, so I just assumed
that I would
that would,
say that? Nah,
yeah.
it was kind of a disappointing. But yeah, mine were kind of
I
all
would
over the
also
place.
throw out
Those are my
there,
singles.
I forgot to mention Sabrina Carpenter as well.
Espresso.
She's super hot. Taste. It's a good song. She's super hot. She's talented. She's a
I'm more of an
crazy
Olivia
bitch.
Rodrigo fan. Dua Lipa.
You're talking about Poppy. Oh yeah, Dua Lipa's fucking Jesus Christ. You're talking about Poppy, and I'm just gonna bring it up now because it's not like part of my top five albums. But her song "Crystallized" on her new album is so fucking good.
That's weird, because when I
I
was
like it a
listening to that
ton.
album, that's like one of the ones I thought you guys, like in the group chat, like would not like. I thought that would be one of the ones you guys wouldn't like, but you would like the heavier ones, like They're All Around Us, and I can't think of the other one. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
She's got some good
Don't
songs
like
on
any of
there.
her heavy stuff. I'd
Oh,
rather
really?
just do pop music like that. Yeah, if she just did stuff like Crystallize Forever, I'd be way happier. I don't need her to do girl rock.
I like
Yeah,
when it's a
I
mixture of
already
both. It's
have.
not like you're straight up trying to be like a hardcore metal artist, but you have hints of that in your music. And I don't know. I don't like when she goes insanely hard, but last album sucked. Don't even waste your time on that. I don't think you'll like any of it.
Well, no, I think she's cool as fuck. I'm just not, I don't think I'm like ready. My ears are ready for like the whole banshee scream, is what people are calling it,
Yeah, that makes sense.
or whatever it does. And I mean, she's fucking awesome, but Crystallize, I love that song. It's the only song I know by name off that one. Eric, what are you giggling about over
The Banshee Scream.
there? That's what people in the comment section call it. I don't know.
No, I hadn't heard it, so I was just laughing about that.
But banshees are female entities, so I guess that's why they call it that. Anywho, kind of one for both of you, but I thought it'd be really cool if you guys actually know this or even looked at your vinyls. But I wanted to ask you guys, like, what are your top five vinyls of the year? Whether it's design or something that you're just happy you purchase. It could be just the fact that you have it now in your collection. But yeah,
Yeah,
let me
that's a
know
good
what
one.
you guys think.
Well, I will say I was very happy. Brian knows this because I've only said it for years that they finally pressed Summer of Darkness and that 18 Visions album, Obsession. Those are two records that from high school because of Chris and I listening to that, those bands, that as I've collected and been on my journey of everything, that I was very excited that they finally pressed those. So those two stand out as far as like badass records that I've purchased because just the vinyl, not just because, but the vinyl itself. I don't know, I'd have to go find one. I'm sure there's a couple. I know Cyborg Octopus was pretty cool, and some of the stuff I got off of Deathless Records, I think it was, or Deathly Decibel, or whatever the hell that record store was. But yeah, those two stand out because of they're just some of my favorite records from high school. So De Demon Hunter, Summer of Darkness, and 18 Visions, Obsession, getting those two.
I would say, because I'll be pretty quick here, Brian. Honestly, getting Coward here out of nowhere this
Oh,
month,
yeah.
because the remix, remastered version of this album sounds so fucking good. Like I've listened to it like 4 times already. Like I was so impressed, and the album wasn't bad to begin with, but it's so really well done. I don't know if Steven did it himself because he's like really good at being a producer now, but. Even the vinyl itself, the cover art looks amazing. But also, I got Attack of the Wolf King this year, so that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that was another one.
I still really like Dante, the EP. The colors and everything all look fucking stunning. And then I got one of the older Architects albums this year too. But that's pretty much it for vinyls on me. I don't remember what else I got this year. Oh. Getting a signed Like Moths to Flames record from Chris in person here a few weeks ago was pretty fucking sweet. So that'll probably be my favorite record of the year. What do you got, Brian?
Oh, yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of any that like really stand out, but looking down, I got some records I have over here. It was a really good year for box sets, like a really good year for box sets. We got the Glass Straw, the Poison the Whale, Strawberry Girls, Alexis on Fire, Mr. Bungle, Crack the Sky. Got that Pokemon one coming in that me and you ordered, Ryan. And I think I got a Breath of the Wild box set somewhere. But it was a good year for box sets. There was a shit ton that came out.
Yeah, that Poison the
But
Whale one's
that
legit.
Poison the Well one is really fucking sick. I wish Chris was able to get his hands on it.
Do you have like a rough estimate of what your collection's worth, Brian? Like a guesstimation?
I think years ago I started putting it on Discogs, but I probably only have like 1/10 on the app listed, and it was already at like 15,000 just with like 1/10 in there.
Well, it's probably more, Brian, because I was just when you started talking, I had started pulling up my Discogs, and I again haven't put everything in there. I've put a lot, but well, it says 434 is what I've put in here, which is not nearly what I have. But estimated collection value is anywhere from on the low side $10,000, and on the high side $35,000.
Oh shit, yeah.
So if mine's that, then yours should be way more.
No, for no,
Ryan's
I
probably at
think you
like
caught up to me.
60,000.
Last time I saw all your records, I'm like, damn, I think you caught up or have more now.
I don't know.
Eric did catch up to you this year. Eric has only bought the most disgusting amount of vinyls this whole year long. Like, it's fucking insane. Every week he'd be sending us pictures. Like, just a mountain of vinyls, like, every week.
I think it's harder for me to tell right now because I just every time I get a new shelf, I fill it up instantly, so I need another shelf. If
I
I had
did
it
just
all
think of
shelved
something, though,
out,
while you guys are.
go ahead.
That'd be cool. Well, I just thought about something while you guys are. I asked you guys a question about, like, your the collection and what it's worth. It's kind of cool, unless the hobby just magically dies, which I don't think it will again. It's kind of cool that vinyls kind of hold their value. Like, no matter what, you're paying 20 to 30 for each one of them. So at a baseline, they're always going to be worth that for the most part, it seems like. Or they become really rare, and then obviously, just like anything else, increase in value exponentially. Do you guys feel that way about your hobby, though? Like, cool, I got this vinyl. It's not sought after, but it's always going to be worth that 20 to 30, or do some vinyls
Well,
drop way below that?
I
For the
mean, there's
most
some
part,
that
yeah.
drop. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I here and there I sell on eBay, and usually I can get at least what I paid or a little bit more. There are occasions where it's not really selling as much and you have to take a loss, but it's not that often. Sometimes I just have extras of shit and I just want to get rid of it, and I look at what it's selling at, and I'm like, there's a lot of copies on there, so I list it a little lower so I can just get rid of it. But that's not normal. Usually it does hold its value, or like you said, gets higher. There's some that sell for really fucking good money. It's pretty blows my mind that it's just a record and it sells for that kind of money.
Yeah. That's so cool. Good job. 'Cause vinyls are fucking really cool, and you guys have some insane collections. I wish people could see them. But that's I'm glad we added that as like a new segment, and it's definitely going to stick around. It might even become a monthly thing with Eric's bitch ass to see what vinyls he got in the month, 'cause he seems to not be slowing down on that.
That's good.
But yeah, we'll kind of move it along here and go to top five concerts. So just top concerts you can remember. I personally can't remember all of them this year, unfortunately. But I'll go first. I still think number one would be the July 26th concert. It was North Lane, Thornhill, Silent Planet. Someone else I'm drawing up, not Void of Vision, but someone else I'm drawing a blank on.
Was it Our Hollow, Our Home, or Aviana, or some random?
Somewhat random, but Thornhill alone in North Lane, just with you and Chris, it was just such a fucking fun show. We had such an amazing time. And then another one that I would say really stood out to me was, even though we didn't get the best standing room, it was just a really good time, and you guys seemed to really enjoy yourselves. Was at the Brooklyn Bowl with Kubla Khan, Lorna Shore, Whitechapel. Sanguine, Sugar Bob,
Sugabog.
Sanguine, Sugabog. It was just badass, dude. Like, to see, I mean, I feel like crowds aren't nearly as brutal as they used to be, but it was still really cool to see all these bands. The venue, if anyone gets the opportunity, please go.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
The Brooklyn Bowl in Las Vegas. It is a badass venue. It was just cool to drive out there for that. I wanted to put Architects on the list, but honestly, the rest of the show was kind of shit besides Architects. But I almost do want to put on the list because now Chris can shut the fuck up, because he was vibing almost instantly when Architects started playing, so he can suck a fat dick.
He
And I
liked
knew
it.
that was going to happen. He fucking loved it, dude. And I was like, fuck this guy. I think another show, Eric, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's at the very beginning of the year, sort of. It's Make Them Suffer,
Era.
Void of Vision, Era. That was the Era headlining tour. Honestly, I just liked it. It was just fun. It was a very chill show. I wish the sound was a tad bit better, but it was cool to knock off some more Australian bands off the list.
I got punched in the
And
head.
then
Hell yeah.
Eric got punched Brother in the Pitt. Head. Yeah, this is actually an injury Eric got from the pit that actually lasted a few weeks to where he started questioning whether or not he's going to go into pits anymore. And then obviously we just had it. I'm going to throw it out there as my last one, and I'll let you guys talk because there might be some that Eric adds that I went to with him. But the last one that me and Eric went to together, yeah, dude, it was such a fucking good time. We sang our fucking hearts out to a fucking Delaware's Prada who had one of the best set lists I think any band's ever had that we've seen to all of us. That was the Eternal Tour with Silent Planet, Delaware's Prada, and then Greyhaven, and then CU Space
like
Cowboy.
Moths.
Like Moths of Flames. Obviously got to meet Chris Roeder. So yeah, I'll probably put that one at the top with North Lane. But yeah, so those are my top five concerts. Incredible fucking shows, and I can't wait to see what's next year. Brian, what are some of your favorite concerts?
Well, the top three off the top of my head would be I saw Death Clock, Dragon Force, and Necrogoblicon. That was a damn good show. I'm not even like a Dragon Force fan. I think of obviously like everybody else, Guitar Hero, but they were fun and they put on a good show and they played Through the Fire and Flames, like standing on top of this like giant arcade cabinet, and it was fucking cool. I mean, like I said, they're kind of dorky, but yeah, they were cool. Death Clock was incredible. They sounded amazing, and the visuals they had behind them were great. And yeah, it was one of the hottest concerts I've ever been to. It was in April, but for some reason it was like hot as fuck. Like everybody was like drenched in sweat. I don't know if they oversold it or that venue was packed to the brim. Like they should have done a bigger venue, but Death Clock fucking killed it. That was a great show. Lamb of God and Mastodon was really great because obviously Mastodon's one of my favorite bands, and they played probably my favorite album ever from front to back with all the trippy visuals on the back. That was great. Lamb of God did really good too, but I think we only stayed for like half the set maybe, but they sounded really fucking good too. And then No Values Festival in Pomona was fucking fun as shit. That was a really damn good time. That was just like a punk festival in Pomona, and there was all kinds of shit there, but got to see Dillinger Escape Plan play their first full set with their original singer in like 20 years. So that was pretty amazing. That was really cool. But yeah, those three were like my standout like shows this year. 100%.
Isn't their original singer just Greg?
No, he was their second singer.
I didn't know that.
Now their first album, Calculating Infinity, has a different singer. And a lot of people, that's their favorite album from them.
And then, Brian, as Eric talks about his top concerts of the year, a question I have for all three of us immediately after he's done is bands we would like to see in 2025. So if you could think of a couple while he's talking, do that. But Eric, what are your favorite shows of the year? I mean, you've gone to such a huge variety of shows. Is there any that really stand out to you the most?
Yeah, I mean, you'd already knocked a couple out that I had put on my list. The North Lane show was really cool, just because the bands that were there in North Lane's fucking amazing. And I think a lot of the time it's, you know, going with you guys, whenever you guys end up going, makes it a lot better. The Eternal Tour, I mean, Delaware's Prada, just to kind of close out the year with that concert, basically, because I don't think I've gone to anything else that I recall. And their set list and what they basically played everything from the beginning to now, which was just amazing. And then the Lorna Shore, Kublai Khan, Whitechapel, Sanswegebog, and then the day after with the Architects show. Again, Architects, like, they sounded great. They put on a great light show. The other two bands were meh. And then the night before with Lorna Shore was amazing. And again, I think that trip was just really fun for us as brothers to go hang out. We, you know, we don't do that often. We haven't done that in a long time. So just being able to go, be in an Airbnb, hang out, go swimming, you know, not be tied down to whatever, you know, family, work, well, sort of work. I guess I was kind of working, but, you know, just kind of just chill and be brothers again for 2 days. Like, that was really fucking cool.
It was awesome.
And then the Knocked Loose show is on the list for when I was in Dallas, June, I think it was. Kind of a spur of the moment thing, just because I flew out to Dallas for work, looked it up, and they're playing. Wasn't sold out because it was a huge venue. and I got to see them. And then the other one that I really liked, unfortunately, nobody went with me.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I know. And I
Bane.
didn't even have Williams in, dude. I didn't put him in that
Dude,
82-yard touchdown. Anyway, sorry.
Jonathan Taylor just got me 15 points. Fuck yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Mayhem Fest was the last one. The crowd wasn't as big, which, really kind of sucks. Just in the grand scheme of things, and everybody else was kind of bitched out, so that pissed me off. But such is life. But the show itself was really good. Darkest Hour sounded fucking great. They played a lot of older songs. August Burns Red was, I mean, they don't. I don't know if they ever have put on a bad show. Every time I see them, they sound so much so good. Who else?
Only one time.
Yeah, and I don't even recall it. Architects was there, Parkway was there, Bad Omen sounded fuck. Their show was amazing. And then kind of hanging out with some high school friends that actually showed up that I had gotten in touch with. So that was a lot of fun. I just wish the crowd would have been bigger, but it is what it is.
It's funny too when you talk about high school friends, it's like literally the high school friends, like people you would have talked to about this music back then. So it was pretty fucking cool how that all worked out. So yeah, obviously 2025 is right here around the corner. We never stop going to shows. Obviously, we will change the trajectory on that, as you said, Eric, because yeah, unfortunately, you bought tickets to shows and people bitched out. So none of that next year. But there obviously is bands that we haven't seen yet, maybe in our life, or bands that we're really hoping to see next year, as obviously there's a lot of good releases coming out, literally in the first quarter of the year. But I think I'm just gonna make it simple, and you guys can too if you want. But easily the band I want to see the most next year is House of Protection. I think they're easily my one of my favorite new bands. They're both extremely talented individuals who definitely I think found lightning in a bottle with both of their talents and combining it together. Because to me it just sounds a lot of like what I loved about Night Versus and obviously everything else. But yeah, so that's gonna be my most anticipated band hopefully to see next year. And they are gonna blow up. They already are. So it's definitely gonna be see them as soon as you can because after that it's gonna be like Bad Omens and everything else and what's the other fucking band?
Sleep token.
With a thank you. And like Sleep Token where their shows are just immediately stupid, not even like a year in. Even though they both those guys have been around for a while. But Brian, is there a band that you would really love to see next year that either you haven't seen yet or they have a new release? One of the ones I was thinking about too is like Stick to Your Guns, their new record's coming out. That's gonna be a sick show to see. But yeah, is there anything that comes to mind for you?
For me, most of the bands that I really enjoy, I've seen at some point. There's only a small list that I still haven't seen, but my first ever favorite band when I was a kid was a band called Bloodhound Gang, and they're teasing something, be it a comeback, a new album or something. But if they toured, that would just like complete a little part of like my teenage years, like finally getting able to see them. And their music's juvenile and childish, but that's why I loved it, and that's why I fell in love with it when I was younger, but just seeing them would be really cool. So hopefully something comes of that. Probably won't, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see Chiodos, but they're playing like a Monday or Tuesday, and I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. So it's not that big of a deal. I'm not gonna cry over seeing them. I think I've seen them once or twice already. But other than that, off the top of my head, I can only think of like Weird Al. I want to go see Weird Al. And I don't care what anybody says, he's legitimately the best performer I've ever seen. I've never seen somebody put so much energy and heart and like costume changes. And he puts everything into his shows. And I'm going to make sure I go to that. And Idola DGD, if they play, obviously I'll go. I've seen them both numerous times. But I would like to go to another festival, but not something like. What's that one? When We Were Young, not something that's like $500, $600. Like, no, I would like to go to another festival similar to No Values, where it was like a little less than $200 per ticket, but the lineup was stacked. But we'll see what comes out. I'm sure festivals will get announced. Maybe I can go to Sick New World. Just kidding.
I wouldn't mind. Well, I wouldn't mind going to Aftershock because it's something
I
that
would
Jared
love
can
to
meet
go
us
one
at.
year to go to Aftershock because because the lineup always looks fucking killer for Aftershock.
Yeah. Eric, you seem to be having a lot of
you guys aren't fucking down. I've talked about going to do these shows and nobody fucking shows up. Furnace Fest, I wanted to go
to. That's what Brian just said. He's like, oh, I'd like to go to like a different festival the next year. And I was like, well, I haven't gone to one, and he wants to go to something different. So I agree with that.
Okay. I just
shut
don't
the fuck up.
I just don't want to do like, I know Sick New World's canceled, or when we were young, like those type of festivals where they're like fucking stupid money. Like that's dumb. That's extremely dumb. How much are Aftershock tickets like vaguely?
Well, I mean, considering Aftershock is like 3 or 4 days long.
I can justify that though. I can justify 3 days. It's when it's those stupid fucking festivals that are all in one day. Like that is so dumb to me.
Well, it's all money, but, anyway, I mean, for me, yeah, I think House of Protection would be really sick. Considering those band or those two guys, Steven and Eric, the bands that they've been in, and then obviously what House of Protection is able to do, just in a freaking EP is awesome. And then there's two bands that I actually, they're just getting bigger, so we'll see how it goes. But I wouldn't mind seeing Sleep Token just to see them. My buddy's seen them once or twice, and he says they're fucking great. They just sound really good. And then still haven't seen Spirit Box.
Oh, really? So, I thought you saw them for some reason.
No. I would like to see Spirit Box. And then also Many Eyes. But Many Eyes is playing with Amity Affliction and Hail the Sun at Soma, so I'm going to probably end up going to that.
Ooh, I am excited for the Glassjaw and Poison the Well show, actually. I am really
excited. Oh, yeah, we have that.
I forgot about that. That's going to be a really damn good one.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
I already forgot, honestly.
I think it's LA.
I think it's LA. I already bought my ticket, but I forgot.
Oh. Yeah.
Are you going to that one, Ryan, or not?
Yeah, Spirit Buck. I don't know yet. Okay. We'll see. I would like to see Glassjaw again. I haven't seen him since like Vietnam. And it would be really cool to see them again. Poison the Well, I've never seen. So that'd be really cool to see.
Butter Lovers.
Oh, are they playing there?
Yeah. Are they playing?
God. Yeah, they're like the second band on the lineup, I think.
They should never be on the lineup.
I was taking shit at that time. Yeah, fucking shit band. Even Brian's come around to it.
I know. What was I telling you, Eric? Like, I like it, but I understand that it's never gonna, both Many Eyes and Better Lovers are never gonna touch the work that came before it. And it just seems like they're trying to just emulate that. It doesn't feel like they're trying to make new music. It's just like they're trying to ride the success off their old bands, both of them.
I disagree.
With Many Eyes doing that?
Yeah, I don't think Many Eyes doing that. They don't sound like portions of it, yes.
Yeah, but you're
completely
right.
Sounding like Every Time I Die?
No, you're right. I will agree with that. There's some.
You know why? Because as I continue to keep saying the same thing to you about Butter Lovers, the core of the musical side of Every Time I Die is in Better Lovers. So when you listen to Better Lovers, if you isolated and took out Greg Picciotto's vocals, I bet you'd be like, oh, that sounds like an Every Time I Die song.
I really like the Better Lovers album, but it was not in my top, though. I will say it was. Maybe disappointing is not the right word. It didn't succeed my expectations. I thought the EP was better, and that just blows my mind.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Anyways, yeah, hopefully you guys do have this. It doesn't have to be in order unless you want it to be. But we're kind of going to move on to top five albums, the most important part of this list. I thought this was going to be a little bit harder for me, but it kind of wasn't. I know me and Eric have kind of talked about this already. We're not going to do EPs.
I don't have
the top five EPs.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, no, let's still talk about it though. Cause there's still great EPs that came out this year, like really good EPs. Eric, go ahead.
I mean, EPs. I think I'm going to hit all of the ones that you have, so you can just agree with it.
I think so, too.
North Lane, yeah. Of course. I think that's my favorite EP, next to House of Protection being real close second. Counterparts just came out with their EP, dropped a surprise EP of Heaven Let Them Die.
So good.
That thing is, they're pissed, and I love it. Icy Stars, they kind of had released those singles, but then they put out two more songs, which made an EP. That was earlier this year. And then Vower, which is a newer band. Couple different bands added into one. I wouldn't call it a super group because the other bands weren't huge, but there was a band out of the UK called Black Peaks. Kind of I don't know, did you listen to them, Brian?
No, I
Black
don't believe
Peaks.
so. No.
You'd like them, I think. But they're kind of
Okay.
I don't want to say, I don't know, basically metal, kind of on the verge of metalcore. I don't know. But they broke up, and then like three of the band members went and did Vower, Vower. They're pretty good. I like that EP. And then finally, Grey Haven, Stereo Grief. Grey Haven's been on fire too lately. They just do a lot of good stuff, and that EP was a good one.
So besides Valor, I put Psilosis.
Oh,
Oh
that was, yeah, that was really
yeah.
good.
But yeah, our lists are exactly the same. I know I ride Northling's cock every day. Unfortunately, they're just something that their music, their Marcus's vocals and their sounds, their instruments, everything about these guys, their lyrics, down to the lyrics, kind of blows my mind every time I listen to them. It does something for me, you know. And Dante being the song that it is just like it's so versatile, and I just love everything these guys do. I mean, Obsidian is still probably one of my favorite records of all time. So for Dante to be just a quick follow-up of, you know, literally an extended play, I think they did a really good job. I do hope that, because you know, when we saw them live, even though I loved it live, there's nothing wrong with it. I do kind of hope they bring some of the metal back to their core, because they've really dived into the electronics, which I do love, but I still want some of the more instruments to be more involved. I think they're trying to figure out the middle ground for that. But House of Protection again is just also extremely solid too, so that's an easy second place for me. And then, like you said about Counterparts, I couldn't agree more. Those motherfuckers, man, they're over it. And I honestly thought Counterparts' last record too was fucking phenomenal. So again, this EP to come out of nowhere, I was just like, holy shit. And then, yeah, Counterparts, every time we've seen them too, or Brandon's just phenomenal live. So yeah, I would agree with those EPs. Brian, what are some of your favorite EPs of the year?
Wait, I thought I was on albums. I didn't say my albums.
No, we're on EPs.
I
We went to
know
EPs.
we
Oh,
did
God.
EPs since they're technically less than albums. Is there anything you can think
EPs.
of?
I don't think enough EPs flew into my radar this year. The only one I can think of is the Unearth one, which was like two new songs and two live ones. Northlanes was really fucking good. EP, that's probably the best EP off the top of my head. But I didn't have a lot of EPs flying to my radar, unfortunately.
No, that's fine, man. We just want to make sure and call them out because we knew. I know me and Eric already talked about it. Just the amount of EPs that did come out this year that are worth noting. I was like, oh shit, yeah, there's a good amount here. But yeah, we'll move on to top five albums. We'll start off with you, Brian. What are your favorite albums of the year?
I know my top two for sure. After my top two, my will just kind of be unnumbered. But Eidolon's Eviscerate kind of blew me away. I really enjoyed that album. Front to back, I thought it was incredible. Yeah, so I'm excited to hear the second half of the album that's coming out in a couple of weeks, I think. Then Whore's War, which dropped earlier this year, which is just a sludgy speed metal band. Not speed metal, but yeah, sludgy rock band that hopefully I can see them again next year. But they're. It was their second album and it just blew me away. I was happy hearing from them again because their first album I would listen to on repeat like constantly when it came out. And then High on Fire, Comet the Storm was really good. Sludge metal, not your guys' really cup of tea, but I listened to that a shit ton this year. I still want to see them again, but that one was up there. Melvin's Tarantula Heart was up there. Once again, not your guys' style. Era was really fucking good. Era was definitely, yeah, that was in top 5, 100%. I'm going more than 5 because why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus Lizard
Oh,
came
that
back for
is
the
the more
first
than five.
time. Jesus Lizard came back for the first time in like 23 years with a new album. And I really liked it. And I got to see him live at No Value, so that was really fun.
That's just like punk bands.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to sit down and listen to In Heart's Wake, that new album. What did you guys think of it?
That's good. I mean,
Yeah.
it's
I think
heavy.
it's like really, really good. I like Hollow Bone though, still the most.
I still need to, because obviously the art reminds me of their first album, and the first album is like my absolute favorite from them, so still need to sit down. And I have to bring up Knock Loose again. That was honestly such a fucking good album. That honestly deserves all the praise and all the everything they're getting from this record. Like, they really like blew up, and yeah, they deserve it. Grammy nominated now, so
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's like Poppy's album was good, but I wouldn't say top. But yeah, those are mine. Kind of sporadic.
Real quick before I go over albums and EP, I forgot to mention that I truly love is a Bleeding Star from Kingdom of Giants, another band who's been on a really good track right now, and I'm really excited to see what they do next and see them again live. But as far as records go, this one kind of just came out a little recently, but I just love the nu metal esque of it, and I think they did kind of find their sound again that is close to their original album, and that's Ocean Grove, Odd World. It's just a lot of fun. You got Fly Away, and then So What, 1999. The original Screamer did come back. He more wrote on the album than actually performed like screaming stuff. He's in a couple of songs, but I still think that these guys have the potential to come back pretty strong and make a name for themselves around the world. I also put Cain Hill, A Piece of Me I Never Let You Find. Cain Hill, I mean, this record is just fucking phenomenal. I love it a lot. And As Laid Dying, I kind of skipped. I wasn't feeling it. But I put Kubla Khan. They're just so sick to see live. I think the new album's really good, but that's Expedition, Exhibition of Prowess, excuse me. And then I did put In Heart's Wake. I do like it a lot. I do think it's good beyond its singles, but I will say, just wanted to confirm my top three records though. Third would be Balance and Composure, with You in Spirit. I love this album, this from the singles up until the release. And then my second favorite album of the year is What I'll Leave Behind from Void of Vision. Their lead singer literally may die any day of the week, with all of his medical conditions and stuff. This is the last record that they plan on releasing as a band. And it fucking feels that way too if you listen to it. It's just a really powerful album. I loved it a lot. And then my personal album of the year, which is no surprise, but honestly, I think these guys came back really strong with this album, is The Cycles of Trying to Cope from like Moths of Flames. And then Knocked Loose is kind of a given. I think they are, in general, like not my opinion, I think they are in general the best album of the year. But for me, it's still like Moths of Flames. Eric, what do you got?
Yeah, we're not horribly far off. I sort of honorable mentions I'll start with, and I do have about 10 albums that I thought were like my favorites from the year. There are about the top three, but honorable mentions was Void of Vision, Throne, Alt was a new one that came through, ALLT, Obeyer, another brand new band from this year, or well, that I found this year, I should say. Really good album. In Heart's Wake, Like Moths, and Ghost Inside. Those ones are the honorable mentions. But as far as like my top, I'll start at the top. My top album that I continue to listen to, that I really enjoyed, and I wasn't expecting it, was Cain Hill.
Nice.
I'm not really sure because I never really listened to Cain Hill. They weren't really on my radar. I mean, like, I knew of them, I've heard of them, I've listened to some of their songs, but I never really got into it. This album is it's awesome. It's slightly different than their other stuff. It has a lot more eclectic sound. It's heavy in some parts. The guy's voice is really good as well, his scream and his singing. And they just did a little bit of different stuff. Lyrical content as well is also a factor in there, as some of the stuff they talk about. It's just really good to me. The second one is Kublai Khan, Exhibition of Prowess. 30 minutes of just pure fucking bangers to me. On top of seeing them live, really kind of stood out. I mean, they're very simple. They're simplistic, but they just hit hard, and I really enjoy that album a lot. And my third one that is like kind of like I said, my top three, Many Eyes, The Light Age. I really like that album. The singles were good. The new
It's so
songs are
good.
good. It's one of my favorite albums. And then Knocked Loose is in there. Again, that's the song. I'm sorry, the album title. You won't go before you're supposed to. When you hear about what that comes from, and everything they've been able to do, the music videos alone that kind of match each other. These guys are on a really big trajectory. So that was a really good album. Era, Cure, phenomenal album. The last one was really good, the self-titled, but Cure is, I think it's better. That one was a slow bleed. What the hell's that song called? That song's fucking sick though.
Slow sour bleed or
Slow
something like
Sour
that.
Bleed, thank you. Love that song, love that album. Make Them Suffer, again, I mean, they had
It's
put out
good,
all those
but
singles, and the singles are probably the best songs, but the other songs, Tether on there, and Small Town Syndrome, and Oscillator, it's really good. I mean, they're doing really good stuff. Ghosts of Me and Doom Switch, those songs are fucking awesome. Balancing Composers in there. I did re-listen to it after Ryan kept saying it's one of his favorites. I thought the singles were better than the rest of the album, but I did come back around to it, and it's solid. Now, Boundaries, Death Is Little More. That album, they're fucking pissed. They remind me a lot of Counterparts, and I really enjoyed that one. That one came out early this year in March. And the last two, Darko, Starfire is the album. They're just kind of all over the place. They're heavy as shit. They do some softer stuff too, which is really good. And then the last one is Hidden Mothers. Really kind of came out of nowhere for me. Kind of remind me of a little slightly heavier Thrice to a degree. But it's just a really good album. So those are the top albums for the year.
Yeah, an honorable mention I forgot to throw out there was Ghost Atlas as well.
Yeah. It's a good
I thought
one.
that one was pretty good, and I'm glad you brought up Era. I think Brian did too. But yeah, Era, even like the first single, Cure, I mean, that chorus is just fucking phenomenal. really, really good shit there. And then I guess just the last honorable mention, because it's just fun, and I'm pretty happy for him and his career, and they are blowing up, is Bill Murray. As well,
Yeah, that was a really
with
good
Johnny
one.
Frank. Yeah, I honestly, Eric said a lot too that I forgot, but yeah, there's just a lot of good music. So that's top five albums. Really, really fucking good year of music, and next year's already looking pretty damn good right out the gate. Is there anything else, moving into next year that you guys are hoping for, or anything else you guys want to bring up before we kind of put a ribbon on this?
Yeah, I'm waiting on, Spirit Box is coming out, so that's something I had listed on new albums for next year. Stick to Your Guns on January 10th. I'm going to go see that show when I come back from Florida that day. I already have that ticket. Idola. I'm excited to hear what Idola does, considering what I've heard from, what's the guy's the lead singer's name?
Andrew Wells.
Andrew. He's talked a lot about what that album's going to be, and obviously you've got the one song that's I think the heaviest song on the record as far as what they've said, and the second single, which was fine. I'd like to hear what happens with that one. And then Ice Nine Kills, I'm hoping they come out with a record because I do enjoy that what they do. Bad Omens finally should be coming out with a record. I'd like to hear Hollowfront come out with a new record, and Haste the Day potentially with that single. And kind of some buzz that they've been kind of creating. I hope that they come out with something. My last two would be like The Wonder Years. I'd like to see if they continue. They've had a lot of good singles in the last year. Just kind of a pop punk, but like a little heavier, I think. But and then Thrice, maybe Thrice will come out with something.
Yeah. Thrice, stick to your gun. I'm sorry, Still Remains. We need Nevaeh Tears to come back.
Nivea Tears.
Just
Nobody even knows who that is.
I know, but still remains make sense.
I wish.
And then we'll see how it goes, but I am excited for Architects, the Sky, the Earth, and All Between
Oh, yeah.
in February 28th. Well, before I keep dying, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, now you bring up Thrice, it would be nice for them to come back. I think their last two albums, like, they were good, don't get me wrong, but they didn't hit me as well as the other one, so I'd like to have a Thrice come back and make a good album that, like, really clicks with me. But they always put out good stuff, not knocking their last two albums, they weren't for me. But so I'd love to see something new
You
from
didn't.
them. Maybe next year is finally going to be when we get the fucking Black Queen, but God, who knows? But
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna
actually,
keep
they already
talking
said
about it every
it's like
year.
pretty, they already said it's pretty much done. So they got Chris Penny on the drums now. They have a new drummer, which was the original drummer for Dillinger Escape Plan, so that's cool. I don't think obviously that's gonna make it heavier or anything, but it's cool to have somebody from Dillinger in the band.
Well, no, I just need Black Queen to keep sending like retro wave 80s music. I don't care about
Yeah.
heaviness. So I hope it all works out because I fucking love that music a lot. All right. Well, yeah, thank you guys so much for doing this. There is a Nintendo Direct coming up in January, potential Switch 2 announcement. So maybe we can have you guys back on for that. The model's already out there. People who are making cases for it are revealing the console. It's just it's just a kit though, you can't show anything. Yeah, thank you guys so much for doing this. Incredible year of music. I can't wait to talk about what comes next and what you get to listen to, obviously, throughout the year. But yeah, thank you guys so much for being on. That's it. I'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
See you later. Have a beautiful time.
Yeah! Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.